بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد: والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. As today is the day of Jum'ah, and we've been told in many ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we should recite the Durood Sharif upon the Prophet ﷺ as much as we can, abundantly, over this day. There's many benefits of this, but one benefit that I would like to just remind myself and my brothers is that on this day the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever recites on the day of Jum'ah the Durood Sharif upon myself, then that Durood Sharif will come straight to me, and there will be no third party, and there will be no third person in between. On the other days, when we recite from all the other days of the week, when we recite Durood Sharif, our Durood Sharif is taken from us to an angel, and the angel then takes it to the Prophet ﷺ and says, such and such person has recited Durood Sharif upon you. No matter how much times it is, the angels will do this continuously, as much as we say it. But on the day of Jum'ah, there's no third person in between. It's directly between us and the Prophet ﷺ. That connection with our beloved is there. There's no one to link us. Our hearts are tied together. This is how our iman, and this is how our love for the Prophet ﷺ will increase. By saying Durood Sharif abundantly upon the Prophet ﷺ again and again, as much as we can on the day of Jum'ah, inshallah. So while we're just waiting, we can just recite once at least, so we can get the benefit, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Inshallah, we will continue on with our stories of our heroes in Islam. Our real heroes, that we can call them. Not the Marvel superheroes or the DC superheroes nowadays that our children look up to, or the celebrities that our children look up to, saying that these are our heroes. But in fact, in Islam, the real heroes are our Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The people who gave their lives for Islam. The people who sacrificed their lives and everything that they had for the deen of Allah. And everything that they done, we should learn about their stories and apply them into our lives. Learn the lessons that they went through. Learn the difficulties that they went through. And inshallah, from that, we can learn how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu lived, and we can copy them. We started with the story of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and how he was such a generous person. And inshallah, we'll continue with the stories of him and his generosity, and how he gave in the path of Allah without thinking of the dunya, without thinking of his wealth. In one occasion, when the Prophet ﷺ stood up and said, who will prepare the army of Tabuk? There was a war going on in that time. So in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ stood up and said, who will prepare the army of Tabuk? Meaning, who will give their wealth, and who will give their camels and their swords and everything in the path of Allah and the war, so that we can win. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, such other Sahaba as well, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they all stood up and they gave whatever they could from whatever they had. But Uthman radiallahu anhu, he stands above the rest in donating and giving in the path of Allah. Why? It's because he did not look at the worldly life. He did not think, if I give this much in the path of Allah, then I will be left with nothing. Rather, he gave as much as he had. And whatever he didn't have, he had plans to get that somehow, but he would give that in the path of Allah. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, who will give prepare the army of Tabuk? And who will help in the army of Al-Usra? Al-Usra means the distress. At that time, there was a lot of poverty going on, so there was not that much wealth, as you can say, that could be accumulated to go into the funds of the war. So they said, who will give in the al-usra, and the war that is called as the distressed war, the difficulty war. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, my brother, look at what he does here. He stood up and said, I donate and I give in the path of Allah 100 camels. And sorry, just one thing I forgot to say, that when the Prophet ﷺ stood up and said that whoever gives and whoever prepares the army of Tabuk, for him is al-Jannah. For him is al-Jannah, meaning you're investing in your Akhirah. Not in the dunya, you're investing in the Akhirah. So when Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, I give in the path of Allah 100 camels. If you put that into today's perspective, my brothers, that is over £1 million in today's perspective. So he radiallahu anhu stood up and said, I will donate 100 camels. And he sat back down. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is not enough. Who will donate in the army of Tabuk so that they can get al-Jannah? Who will earn their Jannah for themselves? And Uthman radiallahu anhu, for the second time, he stood up and said, I will donate 100 more camels. This was the generosity of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he sat back down, and the Prophet ﷺ said the third time, we need more funding, we need more, this is not enough. And Uthman radiallahu anhu then stood up the third time, and he said, I will donate another 100. And in some narrations it says that Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up 7 times, and in some narrations it says that Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up 10 times. And each time he gave 100 camels in the path of Allah, my brothers. If you put that into this perspective, that's over 700, 800 million pounds. Or if you look at the second narration, that's over 10 million pounds. The reason why our beloved Sahaba radiallahu anhum could give this much in the path of Allah and could be this generous, as you could say, is because they did not have any love for the dunya in their hearts. They did not have any muhabbat for the dunya, as you can say. They wanted to invest in their akhirah for their sakes, for the generation's sake, for the nasls, for the children's sake, and for the ummah that was to come after them. They knew that because of our sacrifices now, these benefits will come from our akhirah and for our ummah that is to come later on. So they did not have any love for the dunya in their hearts. If you were to put that into our lives right now, my brothers, I'm not asking for any donation for the mosque. I'm just relating parts of the lives of our Sahaba radiallahu anhum so we can learn from their stories. I'm not asking for any donations here, but if you were to put that into our perspective in our daily lives, because of the dunya has put us so much that we want a good car, we want a house to live in, we want something to, we have goals that we want to achieve in the dunya. We want to have the best jobs. But when it comes to investing in the akhirah, do we invest? Or does the shaitan come to us and make us think twice before we donate? Does he tell us that, oh, do not donate this much or else you'll be poor. Rather donate whatever you have. This is what the shaitan's plan is, my brothers. He comes to you and thinking, he puts into false deception and false hope, telling you that you will lose the dunya, you will be in poverty, and you will lose everything if you donate in the path of Allah. And if you invest in the path of Allah. Investing in your akhirah does not mean that you only invest with your wealth. Investing in your akhirah means, it could be another way you can invest in your akhirah is by giving time in the path of Allah. And how can we give time in the path of Allah? One is coming to the masjid to pray our salah, to pray our farais. Another way is that we can learn the Quran, learn the ahadith, learn the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and the seerah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. This is investing your time to the akhirah. As we all say, time is money. This is another saying that nowadays our youngsters say, and the motivations that you guys get nowadays. So they say time is money. That's 100% true. But if you look at that in the same perspective, time is something that cannot be taken back. Once it's gone, no matter how much wealth you give, you will not get that minute back that just went away. That day that just went away yesterday, you will not get that back. So invest that time in the akhirah. You can invest invest that time in the dhikr of Allah. When you're driving, when you're in your workplace, do dhikr of Allah. This is investing in the akhirah. Not only by your wealth, but by your time as well that you're living. We're living our time anyways. Our time is going, it's not stopping for any single one of us. But the only way that we can make a use of our times is spending it in the path of Allah and investing that time into the akhirah, inshallah. And then after, when Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up 7 times or 10 times, he then came up to the Prophet ﷺ and put 1,000 gold dinars in the path, in the garment of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said to Uthman radiallahu anhu that no matter what you do from this day, nothing will harm you. And he was already given the glad tidings before this as well. He was part of the Ashara Mubashireen, the 10 people that were guaranteed Jannah. But even though he was guaranteed Jannah, he did not stop there. He would still continuously worship and give in the path of Allah. And he would invest in the path of Allah. There was a few Sahaba that would recite the whole Quran in one day or one night. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was such a great man, such a pious man, that he would recite the whole Quran from the start, from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen all the way to Min al-Jinnati wa al-Nas. He would recite the whole Quran in just 2 rakats and the whole night. And he would do this every single night. This is investing in the Akhirah. This is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum teaches us. This is what we should teach our children. If you teach our children, this is what the Sahaba done, then inshallah I know for a fact that in our hearts, and in our children's hearts, they will get the love of deen. They will get that motivation of deen when they look at their heroes. What makes Uthman radiallahu anhu such a great man? Another, he was a generous man, as we just said right now from the story. But another way that Uthman radiallahu anhu stands out from the rest of the Sahaba is his shyness and his humbleness that he had. The Prophet ﷺ said that the most sincere and their humbleness and their shyness is Uthman. This is a dalil from the Prophet ﷺ. This is a proof, you can say, of his shyness, of his sincerity. If the Prophet ﷺ said that from my ummah, the most sincere and their shyness and their humbleness is Uthman. And you can look at another occasion where the Prophet ﷺ describes the shyness of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Once the Prophet ﷺ was in his house and he was lying down and parts of his legs were not covered. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he knocked on the door and he sought permission to enter. And the Prophet ﷺ did not sit up and he did not cover the parts of his legs. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came inside, he spoke to the Prophet ﷺ and he went away. Soon after, Umar radiallahu anhu walked in, he asked permission. The Prophet ﷺ did not sit up and he did not cover his legs. And he spoke to the Prophet ﷺ and then he went away. But when Uthman radiallahu anhu came and he seek permission to enter, when the Prophet ﷺ heard the voice of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he quickly sat up and he covered his legs and he then gave permission for Uthman radiallahu anhu to enter. And then when he had a conversation with the Prophet ﷺ and he went away, Aisha radiallahu anha, who was in the house and she seen what went on, she asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Oh Nabi Allah, oh Prophet ﷺ, why did you not sit up for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, my father? And why did you not sit up for Umar radiallahu anhu, but you sat up when Uthman radiallahu anhu came?" So look at the sentence, my brothers, that the Prophet ﷺ used. What did a hadith record? What did the history record here? In the history, in the hadith, it recorded that the Prophet ﷺ replied back by saying that if the angels are shy of Uthman radiallahu anhu, then why am I not shy? This is what the humbleness that he had, of Uthman radiallahu anhu had. He was so humble that when he spoke, You could not hear him. If you wanted to hear Uthman radiallahu anhu talking to him, if you wanted to have a conversation with Uthman radiallahu anhu, you had to come close to him. You had to sit next to him. You could not hear him as you're hearing me right now. Even though, sorry, I know I have the speaker on right now, but if I was to turn the speaker off, I know most of you will hear me because I've got a mashallah loud voice. But Uthman radiallahu anhu, he had such a humbleness, such a humble man that he did not want to raise his voice in any way. And why was he so humble? Why was he such a generous man? And why was he so shy? It says in some narrations that Uthman radiallahu anhu was so shy and such a humble man is because he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who is so perfect, someone who is our creation, someone who is watching us 24/7, day and night, and a man like me who is unperfect, who is a sinner, who does bad things and he's not perfect, then why do I need to boast about myself? This is the iman that they had, my brothers. They knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and I'm unperfect. So they would humble themselves. If we were to learn a lesson from this, my brothers, is that through our lives, no matter what ego that we have, no matter what takabbur that we have in our hearts, we should get rid of all that takabbur and ego from our hearts. It's because in the eyes of Allah, we're nothing. In the akhirah, when it comes to the day of qiyamah, we're nothing. From all that ego that we have in this dunya, oh, I don't want to talk to that person because he done such and such thing to me. Oh, I don't want to talk to that person is because I have a higher rank than him and according to wealth. Or because he didn't come to my party, so I'm not going to go to his party. All that ego and the pride that you have, my brothers, that will not get you into anywhere, into akhirah. This is another investment, as you can say, into akhirah, is by letting go of your ego and your pride. And becoming such as Uthman radiallahu anhu was. Such a great man that he was. If you were to become that man, then just as he was guaranteed Jannah, inshallah, we won't be guaranteed Jannah, but we can at least be on that right path, inshallah. So learn these stories of the Sahaba ajma'in, and then inshallah we can teach that to our children, and these are our real heroes that we can, as you can see, we can look up to and we can follow, not these celebrities and other people that our children nowadays look up to, inshallah. So we'll leave our talk here, and may Allah give me the tawfiq to act upon this and to follow the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and the seerah of the Sahaba ajma'in and all of us, inshallah, together. We'll pray our sunnah, inshallah, and after the sunnah will be khutbah, jazakallah. If everyone could stand up and come close and make their safs for the sunnah, inshallah.